When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Oregon will host, I was going to say hoist, Oregon will host Illinois at Autzen Stadium. Coming up on Saturday, number one Oregon. Can we say that? Dan Lanning doesn't want us to say that, I guarantee it. Scott Ritchie does a fantastic job covering the Illini, covers basketball, covers football for the News Gazette in East Central Illinois. He's joining us now on the hotline. Scott, thank you for making time for us. You probably didn't think you were getting the number one team in the country when the schedule came out. How's that going over with the Illini?
Well, Brett Bielema talked about that on Monday, and even if Oregon wasn't going to be number one, like the expectation for Brett Bielema for this Illinois football team was Oregon was still going to be really good. So just playing the number one team, it's a rare opportunity, both for Brett Bielema and his time as a head coach. He's had a handful of games against number one teams when he was at Wisconsin and Arkansas, first one here at Illinois, and it hasn't happened for Illinois since 2007. Where they went on the road and beat Ohio State. So, you know, maybe 17 years later, they can pull some of that same magic.
At Big Ten Media Day, I saw, you know, Bielema talk and liked the confidence that he talked with. His messaging was good. What has he done with the program? And, you know, sorry, you've watched the trajectory here of Illinois.
Well, I mean, he inherited kind of a mess. Lovie Smith just never got it going. Not that he inherited anything better. Illinois football's just been in a really kind of a bad spot for more than a decade. Probably since that 2007 season, if you want to be honest. But you know, Brett Bielema is just it's kind of a little more professionally run. He very much is into the details and has his hand in a lot of different things, just, you know, making sure this program runs the way he wants it to run. And it's been a slow build, but I think that's the only thing that really could happen. Cause I mean, it's just, there's not a ton of Illinois football history when it comes to success. I mean, the success is history. Like, I mean, they celebrated 100 years in Memorial Stadium and Red Grange and all that last week. And that was a high point. Like Dick Butkus was a high point. There've been not a ton of those in the last 100-plus years. But this football team, they're competitive. Like, I'll give Brett Bielema that. Like, there's very few games that this team has been blown out. They are in games. They just play a ton of close games, and they're slowly learning how to win those.
6-1, coming off a win over Michigan. I have to think the confidence level right now is in a solid place at Illinois. And by the way, love the helmets. What'd you think of the helmets?
Yeah, the whole helmet jersey concept, it was great. It was unique. I really liked it. I thought it was executed well. I mean, aesthetically, I'm not sure, like, that's my vibe.
right?
I think we've moved away from that for a reason over the last 100 years. But, I mean, when you take into account all that was last weekend with the rededication of Memorial Stadium, the fact that it was Michigan again, 100 years in one day after Red Grange, maybe played one of the best individual games of college football ever. It all worked. Now they don't need to. I don't need to see him again. Like that, the one-off was fine.
The confidence level. Can you maybe speak to that? I mean, how different is this team maybe last weekend versus early in the year? The evolution, kind of a program and a team and a season.
I thought this past weekend was both interesting and sort of pivotal, because the week before, almost lost to Purdue. And, you know, that's a team that Oregon just saw. Like, it's not a good Purdue team. They're one of, if not the worst, power conference teams in the country. And I'm going to give up 46 points in the second half. So I was curious to see what the bounce back from that would be. And the Illinois defense was much better, but kind of back to what it had been early in the season, you know, forcing turnovers. They were better against the run against Michigan than they had been really all season. But I think in terms of confidence, a lot of it is emanating from Luke Altmyer at quarterback. And that's kind of been the case all season. Like, he entered this year with just a real comfort and a real outward confidence that he didn't have a year ago. And it was his first year at Illinois, first year really as a starter, you know, just after getting, you know, a couple starts at Ole Miss. And the season did not end well for him. He had a concussion late in the year, and then when he was healthy again, he didn't get his job back because John Paddock had, you know, played well enough to hold on to it. So that was a rough spot for him to kind of get through this offseason, but he's been super confident and super effective kind of directing that offense. And there weren't big numbers last week, especially from Luke, but like, he still had a huge impact on the game. So it's a confident team. I think a team that's maybe proved something to itself against Michigan after a near fiasco against Purdue. So I'm interested to see what happens this weekend.
Yeah, look, I've seen Oregon play up and down a little bit too, right? Idaho's not bad, but they shouldn't have been in a tight game with Idaho. They didn't play well in just barely beating Boise State. You know, when Oregon's not well and Oregon's not right, Oregon's making mistakes, not blocking, not tackling. What's the difference for Illinois? Maybe it's just simple stuff, but you know, you saw them maybe against Purdue ending up you know, in a situation where Purdue has this huge second half and Illinois can't stop them, but Illinois gets out of there with a W. And then you see them against Michigan a week later and they look great. When things are not going well, what markers are you seeing?
I think the two or three that stand out just off the top of my head, inability to stop the run, and that has popped up on some occasions this season. They've managed not to be hurt by it, say against Kansas, got just gashed in the run game by Penn State, and like, Penn State's going to do that to some teams. Keeping Luke Altmyer upright, just the offensive line is not executing at its most consistent level. The pass protection gets a little iffy. And to be fair, Luke Altmyer's internal clock sometimes gets a little too slow. But that's where some fumbles have happened. He's mostly avoided the interceptions that kind of plagued him a year ago, but the fumbles are still kind of a thing. If you can pop him from the blind side, that ball might jump out. Then it's just the defense maybe overall, then like one last thing is kind of go, because they've been good at bending and not breaking, but I think the second half against Purdue, there was bent to the point of shattering on some plays. So just when they're locked in, they execute pretty well. And the results have been pretty good. When it's just not all there, like it can be troublesome.
Give me an idea, because, you know, look, for a lot of us, I covered the Big Ten, you know, more than two decades ago as a beat writer at Indiana, but it's a different conference now. You know, Penn State had just joined the conference when I was there, and it was the Big 11, and now you're looking at all of these new teams, and how has it changed the conference in your mind, having these four Pac-12 teams join, and Oregon being a bit of a contender for now, or maybe forever, I don't know. But how has it sort of changed the way Illinois fans approach the season or look at the standings?
I mean, I think it changes how you have to view success if you're not Ohio State or Penn State or Oregon, or, you know, teams that have contended at the top of whatever conference they've been in, you know, for a while now, and just Illinois has not. For several years there, it was, okay, try to go win the Big Ten West, which they never did when that division existed. They got close in 2022, had a start to the season much like this one. They were 7-1. They were ranked for the first time in the college football playoff rankings. I think they were 16th maybe at that in the initial ranking in 2022, and then they lost 3 or 4 in the regular season to kind of just bottom out. Lost a chance to win a division, then a chance to go to Indy for the Big Ten title game. I think the pivot is try and be in the top 4 or 5 in the Big Ten as often as you can. Maybe when stars align like they have in 2007 and 2001 and 1983. I mean, there's some gaps in there, but like, win a Big Ten. But if you're in the top 4 or 5 of the Big Ten, like, you're going to be in the college football playoff discussion, at least. And I mean, that's where I think Illinois would like to exist. That's where Brett Bielema is trying to build them. Day one, when he was hired, you know, he talked about building Illinois into a consistent program and a consistent winner. And not there yet, but I think you can see that steps have been taken there. And I think consistency gets you into that level that they haven't really been in very often.
Oregon hosting its homecoming. Ducks are the number one team in the country. I think Oregon has closed practice this week, Scott. They don't normally do that for the full week. Dan Lanning is kind of closing ranks. You can tell he's trying to just kind of keep the noise away from his team. And here comes an opportunity for Illinois. What would it mean to Illinois to upset Oregon, conversely play Oregon close but lose or get blown off the field? Does it change Illinois' season dramatically if the outcome is it was a good game but a loss versus they got beat by 21?
I don't know, maybe not a ton, because you look at the rest of the schedule, Illinois should be favored in most of those games. Maybe not at Rutgers, but that team is not what I thought it might be or others, so I still got a chance to rack up, I don't know, maybe 4 straight wins in the regular season. But, I mean, a win obviously would be huge. I mean, you're talking, at this point, you're in the conversation at the top of the Big Ten in the college football playoff. You know, a competitive loss, I think, is a push. I mean, it might be sort of what the expectation is. A blowout, it's not going to endear the team to the fan base, but I think they've built a little buffer, especially beating Michigan. I think if that's the one team Illinois fans maybe dislike the most, so got some goodwill there. And I don't think a blowout's not going to be great, but it's not like, I don't think it's a killer.
Scott, you just saw Michigan. Oregon's going to see Michigan coming up, here in a couple of weeks, and there's a opportunity there for Oregon to go into Ann Arbor, which they did years ago, and win a football game. But how is Michigan different this season as you saw them on the field?
I mean, I think the one thing that stands out, and I don't understand, is how Michigan, of all programs, doesn't have a quarterback. I mean, they have 3, but none of them are very good, and they've used them all, and I think that's maybe the biggest red flag, out there. But it's kind of stunning. The run game has been good. Illinois was able to kind of bottle it up, and because they were more than fine focusing their attention on that and making Jack Tuttle throw the ball, because odds are he's going to throw it to them. Their defense wasn't as good as it had been all year. I mean, they had been giving up like 73 rushing yards per game. Illinois rushed for like 180. It was just a mixture of guys. It wasn't one guy that really did it, but it's certainly, they're not last year's national championship team. They're not that good. I think the fact that they were still ranked last week is just maybe that's because they're Michigan a little bit. I don't think that was a top 25 team. I don't think they are a top 25 team. I think there's certainly an opportunity for Oregon to go into the Big House and do something.
Help us out with this, because it came up earlier in our show. I know that you're a voter in the men's basketball AP top 25, but in football, we had, there were some people questioning, like, how do you put team A in front of team B? And I said, my theory is that not everybody does the poll the same way. Are you given instructions when you go to vote in the top 25 poll? Are you supposed to rank teams just based on who you think's better, or what do you take into consideration? Or as you look at other voters, do you find that philosophy differs from one voter to the next?
Yeah, we have some guidelines, and this is just from a basketball standpoint, because I voted briefly for football just as a fill-in for one season, but I've been a basketball voter for a decade now. And it's not so much about the process. It's mostly regional bias should not come into account, and like questions of homerism will be raised if need be. Really, the only other one is like, don't be afraid to make big moves on your ballot, you know, week to week. And I think that's maybe a little easier for basketball because there's, you know, multiple games per week and, you know, it's more things can change. But yeah, the process for, I think, every voter is different. I know one former basketball voter would just refuse to rank a team that hadn't played a true road game early in the season. But yeah, mine is, I just try to take a holistic approach. I do lean into as much data as I can source. And I try to, I mean, obviously I watch as many games as I can, but at the end, it's kind of just a gut feeling. Like, is this team good? If they are they better than A, B, C, and D? And I'm not sure how you could have looked at Michigan and said they were good, but that's just my opinion.
Scott Ritchie, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you sharing some expertise on Illinois football.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy to do it.
You bet. There he goes. Illinois, Oregon, Saturday, Autzen Stadium. Oregon State going to Cal. Later in the show, we will talk to a writer from Write for Cal who is all kinds of fired up about Justin Wilcox and believes it's time for Cal to move on. We'll talk about that equation later in the program. Coming up, we got Punch It Audio and an interview with Mike Yam of the NFL Network, also on the CW show. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.